out here this announcement, brother.
Nerd Shit Pod Podcast.
Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Oh, man, that's really good, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, I already want to scroll.
What?
Because it's such a TikTok noise that I hear it, and I'm like, no, I want to fucking get rid of that.
Next video. Start swiping.
Yeah.
Next one.
Yeah, dude, I'm swiping left on that fucking voice effect.
Overused joke. Yeah.
No, I just talk like this the entire time.
Daft Punk.
Yeah, dude. But anyway, welcome back. This is the Nerd Sip. You know what it is? We just talk shit about games.
I know what
sometimes.
It is.
Y'all know what it is. Samuel, I'm joined with Guy. How are ya?
Yeah, doing good. Doing good. This week there's a bit of news happening.
There is.
I mean, there's a lot of news happening in the gaming world. But I am currently waiting on a new CPU to arrive.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Sorry. I just have the vibrato voice stuck in my head now. It's like a subconscious thing now. It just feels like it's always on.
I just want to point out, so there's a little bit of context leading into about 5 minutes prior to this podcast. There was Sam literally on the voice effects like this. For way longer than anyone deserves to be able to do that. So now he's just hearing vibrato. That's it.
That's all that's happening.
That's it.
But yeah, I'm waiting on a new motherboard.
Bro, you're waiting on a whole new rig.
Yeah.
Like you've literally
everything except graphics card and power supply.
Full chipset upgrade.
Yeah.
Like
it'd be sick.
Oh bro. We're gonna be weapons in the game.
It's gonna be sick. So and you just upgraded to ninth gen.
I did, So I was very, very lucky. Shout out to the old younger brother who was he upgraded his parts, and for my birthday he flicked me over his old parts. So for anyone that gives a shit about numbers like I do, we've got the old 3570K, she was trusty, old girl, 6-7 years. She's out the game now. She's retired. Now we've got the 9900K in here, just hurting souls with, what it's got to do. Worth way more than not worth what it's worth, but I'm very, very privileged.
What do you mean?
And lucky. Oh, it's just a very overpriced CPU. But I'm very thankful and I'm very lucky. And now Sam's got the bloody, to go and one-up me with the 10th gen. And turns out, fun fact, the 10700K is the same, if not slightly marginally better than the 9900K. So you have to go flex on me there too.
So mine is very overpriced.
Nah, dude, you're getting a better deal than I would have if I bought this new.
Really?
Yeah, literally.
Oh,
you're
if
getting
you bought it new.
The same or slash better performance. But like two-thirds of the price.
True.
Yeah.
Which is so sick. We justified the price being that it'll last me years, so.
Oh, well.
And then we broke it down price by year, and it turned out to be $20.
Nah, $200 a year. $200 a year. If you have the system as long as you've had your car.
But I use it every day.
Oh, but that's it, man. Like, that's how I thought about it. Like, Sam and I were both on third gen. So, these rigs have been running for 6-7 years now at least. And Sam had the i7 out of the i5. The 3570 and the 3770. And look, you know what? They're still absolute rigs. Nothing wrong with them. Slap a lower GPU in there and sell a little 1080p gaming rig. But it just wasn't keeping up with what Sam and I are doing. Starts bottlenecking the old graphics boosters, the old GPUs. So we needed something better. And now we've got something better that's going to last us another 6-7 years.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, bro, definitely.
Because your motherboard looks pretty badass.
Oh, it does. Like, you've literally increased your thread count by double. Like, you've gone from 8 threads to 16 threads.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, so you're gonna see a difference in everything you do. Like, I already have. It's ridiculous.
But so, like web browsers heaps faster?
Well, you're going to have more RAM because you went 32 gig, hey?
Yeah.
So 16 gig would have been doing you fine, but if you had like a bunch of tabs open like you normally would, plus like a video running and music and whatever else, by the time you've got that stuff running, your like the memory your system uses starts going to the page file, which starts using memory from the SSD or hard drive. So that's when you start seeing like the system slowdown, is when your RAM gets maxed out. So with 32 gig plus your CPU, whew, mate, giddy up. It's going to take you a hot minute before things stop feeling snappy, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just want to be able to Google 3 things at the same time for once.
Dude, it's going to Google it before you think of it, bro.
that's even better.
Yeah, it's like, it's just literally, you just bought like level 100 cookies. Like cookies on, man, I'm talking some shit. I haven't talked a lot of shit today, so it's all coming out on this.
Big biscuits.
Nothing but bickies, bro.
I have gaming wise, I've been so Spellbreak. I don't know, because I'm trying to find a new game to play on my stream now, because
World of Warcraft.
Spellbreak is not World of Warcraft's pretty shit. Spellbreak
Fuck
is
off, dude. I'm so hooked.
Spellbreak is about to come out with a big enough update to warrant getting IGN involved.
Oh, so, right. Oh, I did read about that, actually, yeah.
Yeah. So last time they did something like this, they straight up shut down all the servers for 2 months.
Oh, true.
So they could initiate all the new changes, because they're pretty big changes every time.
Yeah. But
anyway, so I have a feeling that's going to happen again. So now I'm looking for a different game to play.
Dude,
and I'm gonna get back into Yu-Gi-Oh.
Fuck off.
No, I'm joking.
Imagine we do a live stream and we do a live stream streaming our phones for Duel Links. Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can get that on Steam now.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Oh, dude.
I was about to say yes, but no.
That is 100% on the agenda.
At the moment I'm kind of just checking out a bunch of TCGs. So like Hearthstone, I always play, but I think I'm just going to end up playing that more. Mm. And then I'm checking out Magic the Gathering Arena, which is pretty sick. I do love me some Magic.
Oh, dude, get into Gwent. Didn't that just come out as a standalone?
Yeah, it did, but I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I'd rather play Magic or Hearthstone.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And yeah, I got Duel Links, and then this other one called Shadowverse that I have to check out. It's like this anime card game. I haven't actually seen anything about it. I haven't seen any gameplay on it, so I've no clue what's going on.
But yeah,
I've just seen it around a lot of places. So yeah,
check that out. Massive.
Something else. Oh yeah, and I want to check out Path of Exile.
Yes, man. I haven't seen anything about that game in years.
Yeah, there's
Doing some updates or something.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff coming out for it soon.
I didn't see him in a headline, but I just scrolled past it. Not recent, fairly recently.
Oh. One game, sorry, this section's a bit of a rambling mess because I'm just naming titles off the top of my head that I want to check out that I haven't exactly dived into deeply yet. Monster Train, I just recently got and played about 8 hours of it now. It's awesome, Monster Train. If anyone's a fan of the Spire, Slay the Spire, that's it, not the Spire. Slay the Spire, like just a single player card game where there's like a lot of RNG and as you go along, you kind of build your deck and you fight monsters and whatnot.
Mm.
Monster Train is pretty cool because it's pretty much exactly like Slay the Spire, except I would say it's more refined, and in that you're like on a train and the train's gone along and you have to protect the train from these monsters that board it.
Okay.
You have three different lanes that monsters jump on, and you have to play cards and defend each lane and stop monsters from getting to the train's heart source or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And yeah. That's like it's almost like a survival card game. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not a massive fan of TCGs in general, but I mean, that sounds pretty cool.
I'm a big fan.
Mm, I know you are. It doesn't keep me engaged.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. A certain kind of person.
Yeah, definitely. I can see the appeal, but it's not for me.
I definitely want to try and get into Legend on Hearthstone.
I am.
Like, I just want to get into Legend once. That's it.
And then screenshot it and never play it again.
Basically.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, like I'm good after that.
Mm. Yeah, like, you can, you know, die out. Happy, that whole shenanigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I think, I checked out. So I checked out Valorant.
Yeah, I booted it up and played the shooting range today. Like, my lunch break, as far as having a lunch break working from home goes.
So the tutorial, like, it's pretty.
Oh, I would say the tutorial was actually really good. And the game feels really good, even just in the tutorial.
Yeah.
Like, it looks crisp. It feels clean and smooth. Like, yeah.
The tutorial shows you literally everything in the span of 2 minutes.
Yeah. Super quick, accessible, engaging, interactive. And then it just throws you in. Like, give it a red hot go.
Yeah, and then everything outside the tutorial is just learning the maps and how to take proper cover and stuff like that.
You know, it's just
you learn in CS:GO.
You just learn on the job, pretty much. And it's I think it does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, and I played a couple games of that. That was pretty awesome. I mean, it's definitely a Counter-Strike game, so.
Oh, it's a tax shooter for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not in, I wouldn't even call it like, I guess Rainbow Six Siege is still pretty different, but it's kind of the same.
Still a tax shooter.
Yeah. But there's I don't know, there's something about this that because you haven't jumped into a game yet, there's something about it that really feels like chess almost, where you kind of place yourself at a corner and just hang out there.
You just got to be more strategic, you think?
Yeah, and you're kind of, it's like a bit of waiting and waiting for people to pop corners and stuff like that, or choosing to pop a corner.
Because I did notice that, like, the headshot damage is, you know, it feels very Counter-Strike-y, so it's just, you know, fucking.
It's pretty much just
one tap. First one to crouch and stop moving and hit fire perfectly wins. Like, that's the whole game. Which I love that shit, dude. It bloody gets my heart pumping. That's why I love Krunker. Like, it's that same experience.
Yeah, Krunker. Krunker's pretty dope. But yeah, Valorant. That's a decent game. It's free. Check it out. It's got a fucking battle pass, dude.
Yeah, dude. Well, they got to make money somehow, don't they?
Yeah, I know. I just thought it was crazy that they had a battle pass. Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's been blowing up. CSGO's people are loving it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. What's Have you been doing any gaming shit? Or
honestly, I haven't been playing much at all recently. Work's been crazy. So that's been absorbing a lot of my time. There's a lot of shit going on.
Getting killed.
You know, and when I do play, I've just been playing WoW, man. We've, you know, we're just on that grind for 120. So we're playing BFA now, which is cool. And I think I'm level, I'm 114, 115, something like that.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking nuts given how much time we've played. Like, we really smashed it. And I'm enjoying it more and more every single time I play it. And the questing as in like later game or like current game is way more enjoyable than it is earlier, dude. Like, Jake talks about like there's like two make or break points in the game, and I completely agree. And there's level 40 and there's level 80. But I think if you don't enjoy it after level 80, then you won't enjoy the game. But I can understand why you might not enjoy the game prior to level 80. So, yeah, it's interesting, but I'm really fucking with it.
I understand that they haven't changed any of the game for some reason. And when you start the game, you're playing like 30-year-old content.
Yeah, like, and it's what's really interesting is it genuinely feels different whenever you roll into a new expansion. It's like you've got multiple iterations of the game that you're literally progressing through, which is that's actually what it is. But you can feel it, and it's really interesting to like feel that starting from like classic to BFA going into it now. And it just gets progressively more fucking crazy. And it's sick.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever be able to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you, like if we all played like the way Jake and I played at the same time, like the every night that we were doing it for like 2 weeks, and you're at the same point as us, I think you might have a different opinion. But like being where you are solo, I could definitely see like I would lose interest too.
I just think it's straight up boring. I don't know.
You just don't enjoy it?
Yeah. I don't enjoy any of it. Like the fact that it is shit at the start means it is shit.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily shit. I just think it's when I say shit to today's standard.
Yeah, but the fact that I have to put in 30 hours or whatever before it gets good, like that's not good.
No,
I want to do the level jump.
Yeah, like I definitely don't think the game is like aged or scaled well for new players.
Yeah. I don't think it is for new players.
No, like, and I can definitely see that. I think the only reason I'm into it is because I got into it at like a really, really good time. Where they've got the 100% boost. Jake, who is like an old school bloody, he's played forever player. And he's also my housemate. So he's just like, want to play? And I'm like, yeah. And then, so he walked me through it, like explained a bunch of shit that boosted XP even more, like wearing heirlooms and that shit, leveling with you. And then we just did dungeons for fucking like tens and tens of levels, which we blew through. That has like really made me enjoy the game more because it was quick. It helped me understand it quickly. And it was like progressively crazy. Whereas if I walked into that game solo, I would have lost interest at like level 20. So it's weird. Like it's weird. I 100% where you can't see, like understand where you come from.
It's so chill at the start. It feels like I'm playing Minecraft or something.
Mm, yeah, 100%.
But
anyway, so I've just been into WoW, but I want to play a few rounds of fucking Valorant, dude. I reckon Valorant would be sick.
Well, if you got time, we can pop some in after this.
Suss her out. Time. But what's going on with the news, Samuel?
The news? I think you should go first. You go first.
I go first? What do you got? Well, let's start out with a fun one. So I didn't even realize that this existed, but there is an award called the Nebula Award from the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. And the Outer Worlds won the Game Writing Award, like a Nebula Award for game writing, from that whole like association. And I thought that was fucking crazy.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Have you played it?
I haven't. No, I watched a speedrun of it and never felt like I had to play it.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, neither do I.
It's,
I mean, I did watch some dude literally speedrun it in 12 minutes. And I was like, oh, I feel like I've experienced the whole thing. I know there's so much more depth, and that's like taking away from everything that went into that game, I imagine. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like I needed to play it after that.
I put like a fair few hours into it, but
did you actually play it?
Yeah, I properly played it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't finish it though. So, like, basically, I love these games.
Yeah,
I love these kinds of games.
I got like a BioShock Infinite vibe from it.
Yeah, I've never played that.
Oh man, BioShock Infinite is my favorite BioShock.
So this game, I don't know, you play it for like a few hours. I'm talking about my experience. This is my experience. Mm. Play it for a few hours and it's great. And it's great the whole way through. And then, I don't know, it's something about it. I just lost interest.
Yeah, right.
It just failed to keep me going on. I also think it was a combination of other games releasing, and I was like, okay, I gotta check out this.
Oh man, that always happens with us though.
Yeah,
like I'll look super into something, and then a new game will drop, and it's just moving on to the next one, regardless of.
Yeah,
I do. Exactly. I'm like, I've got the worst habit for that.
Yeah, 100%. And so yeah, I should go back to it actually.
Yeah, I mean, because I thought it looked really interesting, and I was keen to play it until then I saw it just pop up in my feed, and I watched through it. It was like one of those Dev React videos, and I was like, "Oh shit, it does look really cool," but now I don't feel like I want to play it anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But fucking regardless of the fact, hell yeah, good on ya, bloody Nebula Award game running. That's sick.
Fucking hectic,
dude. I mean, that was a little one I had.
Have you played Frostpunk before?
Have I played
Frostpunk? Oh,
I mean, I haven't properly played it, but I've sussed it.
You've sussed it?
Yeah, I think I've got
it. But you have it? Okay.
Maybe, yeah. I would have picked it up like a humble forever ago.
I'm an absolute addict for these games. I love these games so much. Just the RTS foot survival type games.
Yeah, I know, dude. Like, you love your bloody XCOM and that sort of shit.
Yeah. But this one's like a civilization management type game.
You are addicted to like that shit.
Yeah, simulators and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're releasing the final expansion. I haven't checked out many of the expansions for Frostpunk, actually. I just played the base game for like 20 hours straight. Yeah, and then after that, I think it's on the list of games that I have uninstalled for a reason.
So it's up there with Civ 5 and...
and Civ 6.
Yeah.
And Civ 4. Frostpunk's final expansion is on the edge and brings new story map mechanics. The 11-bit, developer studio has released brand new teaser trailer for the third and last Frostpunk expansion, and it is called On the Edge. The previous expansion was called Project TVADGYCGJR. Okay.
Fuck is that?
I completely missed that.
That seems a bit extreme, to be honest.
Yeah. But yeah, it's meant to be the game's final big content drop. I think after that, they'll probably do some like patches and whatnot to fix the game up, but there'll be no actual content afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll start working on another project, or like if they've got another one in the works, they'll just focus more resource on that.
Yeah. Yeah, Frostpunk on the Edge marks the last piece of a puzzle in the post-volcanic winter New London story set following the vicious Great Storm. The update brings a new story chapter to the game, along with a new desolate map with its own set of challenges and unique mechanics both in the city and on the Frostland map. Tackle and more, though more details on these are due to follow closer to the expansion's launch. So yeah, you'll have most of the DLC releases, they have new game modes, new maps, so I'm guessing you can just expect the same things to come for us.
Oh yeah. Are you gonna give it a crack or?
I'll probably check out, because I missed the last couple of DLCs, so I'll probably give them a go.
Yeah, true.
And then check this one out.
Yeah, massive. That's rad.
Yeah.
So Kerbal Space Program. You know that game?
I never got into it, but my brother was like hooked on it at one point.
Yeah, so I never got into it either, but I always thought the idea of it was really interesting. I just never made the time to give it a crack. So yeah. the brains behind that game, Star Theory Games, received a message over LinkedIn last December, which was weird apparently for a couple of reasons. Because the executive producer at the publishing company funding the next game, Kerbal Program, Space Program 2, the executive producer being from Take-Two, the game holding company that owns like or funds like Rockstar and 2K and shit, they had said that they are canceling, like they got this message from these guys, not their own bosses, saying that they're canceling the contract between Take-Two and Star Theory Games, which stops their funding to continue working on Kerbal Space Program 2. And then following that, they got called in for a meeting from, like, you know, the managers or, you know, directors of the game company Star Theory, called them all in, was like, yeah, it's happening. And then Take-Two started their own fucking game studio, continuing the same project, and then poached 2/3 of the fucking team from Star Theory.
Holy. Whoa.
Yeah, dude. And so a couple of the guys, what are the names? Like Benny and whatever, like the blokes over from Star Theory. They were really trying to hold on to like some of their stuff to, you know, because like, oh, you know, we can still keep this going. Jonathan and Bob was like, yeah, we can still keep this going. And then, you know, like a quarter of the employees stayed, and then like a shitload of employees got hired over at the new studio that Take-Two is funding, which I think is fucking crazy. Like, how?
Wait, so have they announced on anything what the new studio is doing? Or?
Yeah, they literally started the studio to work, like, to continue working on Kerbal Space Program 2 and other shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry, I missed you.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's, yeah. Like, how much do you reckon? I didn't realize how big Take-Two was. What do you reckon their market value is? I know I do this guess shit all the time with you, but just
how. Oh, I honestly have no clue, bro, dude. I'm gonna guess, like, 1 mil.
Bro, 15 billion. Is the market value for Take-Two. And they came in, stopped the fucking funding contract for a studio so they could start their own because their stock is up 10% or some shit. Yeah, I was like, holy fuck.
God damn.
And like this article is like the rest of it pretty much talks about how Take-Two started, like began funding Star Theory back in like 2017, following like a Kickstarter that they were doing for the game and like all this sort of shit. But I just want the biggest takeaway from me is that they literally shat on their doorstep and were like, oh, fuck you. Your toys are cooler than mine. I want yours.
That's nuts.
Yeah, right? I couldn't believe it.
Sega is making a Game Gear Micro.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
The little wrist gauntlet thing.
Yeah. It's going to be able to fit in the palm of your hand.
Man.
It's definitely a micro, but Sega's celebrating the 60th anniversary of the console this year. Hang on. Oh, had some of the burrito on come Sega Day.
Nothing like a little bean burrito come to Sega Day. Oh, actually, look, would it be too rude if I was to snack on an Oreo?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have a snack on one anyway. Are you ready?
Why have you got Oreos?
Mm.
What do you mean am I ready?
Oh, it's a good Oreo. That's fucking sick.
This is not an advertisement.
Oreo, sponsor me. Who makes Oreos? Is it Nestle? Yeah.
Nestle? Right. Nestle.
Can't find it. Doesn't matter. Anyway, whoever does it, sponsor Nerdstep. I'll bloody cop some bags.
Game Gear Micro is a revival of the Sega's 8-bit handheld system that tried to overcome Nintendo's Game Boy. So basically, Famitsu will have more information out soon. But there's promo shots out at the moment, and the current promo shot has Sonic on the screen. And yeah, it is very micro. It's definitely very micro. That's all I can say.
It is very micro. I can see that. It looks like one of those. Oh, do you remember the Game Boy Advance Micro?
Yeah.
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 Wait, were you just saying that?
No. It's just the fact that they're both called
micro. Oh, okay. Fuck. I thought I just wigged out and you'd already said that. You were laughing at me because you'd already said it.
It's just like the Xbox Micro.
It's just like the PlayStation Micro. It's just like the PC Micro.
This is a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, bro. Did you see that they're releasing an 8 gig one? It's crazy.
What?
An 8 gig Raspberry Pi.
What do you mean?
Yeah, dude. No, I was reading about it the other day.
That is beast.
Yeah, bro. It's fucking crazy.
So yeah, so far we know it's gonna have Sonic the Hedgehog titles.
Obviously.
There is also more images on the Game Gear Micro landing page that have revealed that the system will come in four colors. Black, blue, yellow, and red. It will be released in Japan on October 6th this year for 4,980 yen, which is about $50 American dollars, wow. Which is about 800 Australian.
US, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got my exchange rate wrong. But yeah.
There's that. Getting the retro consoles coming back.
Oh, you know, we've already had them all coming. We had the bloody mini SNES. We had the mini PlayStation
Micro
1.
SNES.
Yeah. Cool happening.
The micro Game Boy SP.
Hmm. Well,
did you have a Game Boy Special? Sorry.
Did I have a what?
Game Boy SP.
Oh, dude, I had like every Game Boy apart from the classic one. My first Game Boy was a limited edition Pikachu Game Boy Color. And there was like a Pikachu around the screen and its cheek was the power LED.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
Yeah.
My Game Boy must have been like super rare because I've literally never seen it again. I've no clue where it is, but it's a limited edition Australia edition.
Oh, massive.
It's like it's green and yellow and it's got Aussie written on it.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I've no clue how rare it is. It's probably is rare because I've never seen it anywhere.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
But so. I had the Game Boy Color. I think I had a Game Boy Advance for a very brief period. And then I had the Game Boy Advance SP. And
yes, SP was sick.
SP was like fucking game changer.
Yeah.
It was like they really.
You could load in Game Boy cartridges.
Yeah, you could log in color games and Game Boy games, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's when they really changed it up.
They're like monopolized on the whole flip phone saga.
Yeah. But you could connect it to your GameCube, and you can also do multiplayer.
Mm.
That was wireless. That was like the first ever wireless handheld console.
Oh. No, you could do it on the Game Boy Color through infrared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, but you had to like hold them together.
Yeah. Like Digimon.
I think it was the Game Boy Color. I can't remember. It was something like that. It like fucking never worked. But it existed. You know, it did its best. Wait, is it my turn? What do we got up next?
Yeah.
So there's this whole thing going on. Have you seen Epic Games dropping like a shitload of free big games?
Yeah.
So we had bloody GDA, and then we had Civ as well, which I picked up. And then the last week or two, we've had a Wombo Combo. We've had Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, which includes Borderlands 2 and all of its DLC, as well as Borderlands, the pre-sequel. So if you haven't played it, now's your chance, because those are like two great games to play as like an entry, which is half the games that Borderlands has, but that's not the point. Borderlands 2 is a shitload of DLC and it's all sick. And then the next week's rumored game is bloody Ark Survival, the bloody dino game, the futuristic one.
I don't think I have that.
So I thought that was, I was like, oh, crazy. They're still going with it. And the founder of Epic came out, bloody Tim Sweeney. And he was saying that the free giveaways are actually really increasing the sales on other platforms. So apparently a lot of the thing is like supporting developers. So by them releasing the game or like doing a thing on like a whole, you know, whatever on the game for free, they've found that developers have seen an increase in sales on other platforms like Steam, GOG, and even Humble Bundle.
So
like more people are going and jumping on Epic. And then they also did really well on their like Epic Mega Sale, which was recent. And then as well, it's benefiting like other platforms for the developers for the game because they're getting to try it free and then like purchase it elsewhere where they want to actually play it, which I think is crazy.
Like this is a really interesting stat.
And yeah, it is.
This really proves how shit Epic Games DRM is.
Oh, man.
The fact it's that like, people get the free game and then they're like, oh, this is a great game, but I fucking hate Epic. So
yeah, it's
I'm
like
pay full price.
Honestly, I think Tim Sweeney, he must have like a cuck fetish. Like he's literally cucking himself out of sales and he's loving it. It's so good.
We're probably being a bit nihilistic, but it's still
fun. No, it's all for a joke. Take. Like it's actually really sick that like this all actually seems quite genuine following Epic's history.
Yeah.
You know, free giveaways because, you know, they're being very transparent and saying that it benefits everyone. It's not like they're just doing it out of the good of their heart. They know it benefits them, but they're also acknowledging that they're doing it because it benefits the developers directly. And I'm like, hell yeah, fucking get in there. That's sick.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty rad.
Because I have to play Spellbreak on Epic and I've started to like.
You say that like you're being held at your will.
Well, I'm just being honest. If Spellbreak had its own launcher, I'd probably prefer that.
Oh, dude. When I booted up Valorant today, Riot's got its own launcher.
Yeah, they've had League of Legends for years now.
Yeah.
I think it's like
years. Even with Spellbreak, if literally they released it on Steam but I needed to pay for it again to play it on Steam, I would.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think originally Spellbreak had its own launcher and shit, but
that wouldn't surprise me. It was a pretty small game.
Yeah. So it has recently come out that Resident Evil 3 has been confirmed that it's a finished product and there's not going to be any DLC or future updates with more content. It's just that's it. That's the full game.
Wait a minute. The Resident Evil 3 that came out recently.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just like, yep, we're done with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine being that fucking confident in your own release, dude.
Yeah, like, so what happened when it was released from my memory? I mean, if anybody has any grievances with what I'm about to say, just shoot us an email. We'll correct the next episode. But from what I know, I haven't actually played the third one before. From what I know is there was a lot of complaints on the game's content value and a bunch of other things such as AI and whatnot, but it's not worth going into at the moment. But yeah, so basically it was missing a lot of stuff because I think the game was only 6 to 8 hours long, whereas Resident Evil 2 was something like 14 hours.
Holy shit, that's a big single player game.
12 to 14
that's
hours.
That's a monstrous single player game.
Yeah. Because I mean, they're remakes. So.
Yeah.
But like Resident Evil 3 kind of cut out a lot of the fat from what I know. But a lot of people wanted that stuff.
Mm.
So yeah, basically, they've said, okay, so Capcom's Peter Fabiano clarified the future of Resident Evil 3's content in an interview with Siliconera, is Resident Evil 3 a finished project or are there any tweaks or updates in the works? Fabiano, Resident Evil 3 is a finished product. There you go.
Good wow, fans. That's it. Literally, he could have just said no and it would have had more emotional value.
Yeah. Well, the no would be denying it. He would have to say,
"Oh wait. Yes," but like, sorry, yeah, that's what I meant. But crazy to me.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, hey, is there anything more coming out? It's like, fuck off. Like that would have been more meaningful.
Yeah,
like, I'm fucking never touching that again.
I'm guessing they've started on Resident Evil 4. I'm gonna guess.
Oh, wait, wasn't that something that was? I don't know if we're wigging out, but I thought I saw a little rumor about it.
Because Resident Evil 4 is where like shit started pivoting.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
That's where the game really picked up. I mean, the game, the series was good from the get, but like Resident Evil 4 was a real whole genre changer.
Yeah.
In the action RPG horror genre.
Yeah, big time.
Survival horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Capcom's Resident Evil 3 is a finished product.
Well, you know what isn't or wasn't a finished product when they released it?
Temtem.
Fuck, dude. If you actually guessed this, that would have been funny. No, Fallout 76. What a beautiful transition the end of your story was to mine. That's fantastic. I'm really proud of myself. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. So Fallout 76, rubbish release. We all know about it. There's no need to squabble on. Released in a very, very poor state. Now, in Australia over here, our consumer law like protects the shit out of us, where it's easier for a company just to fucking let someone have something than it is to actually argue it. So it essentially just protects customers in cases where products are found to be faulty or damaged. And obviously that sounds quite vague because it's intended to be that vague. But it took a fucking hot minute for anyone in Australia that purchased Fallout 76 through EB Games, our little, you know, version of GameStop over at the old Down Under, to actually get refunds. Yeah, so people that got in contact with, what was the company called? It was something really weird. I've lost it. Oh, I feel very, ZeniMax. That's it. Sounds like a bloody like tampon company or something.
The batteries.
Yeah, like fucking. So ZeniMax, if you contacted them within 7 months of the launch, a part of this whole thing, that you are now entitled to a refund from EB Games. Well, that's 7-6. And there you have it. So if you're Aussie and you were involved in that and you forgot about it because, you know, you probably have by now. Yeah, a game that's been out for a year and a half, you can now get a refund.
Oh, yeah.
that's fucking it.
I've been considering actually jumping on that game.
Oh, I probably wouldn't, man. Like, personally, only because I haven't actually properly played through one. I don't have a drive to play for that game.
That's fair enough. I just think the new update looked cool.
Mm.
So this is my last story. The Outer Worlds popping up twice. The Outer Worlds gyro controls confirmed for the Switch frame rate and resolution targets.
Oh, true.
So yeah, gyro controls on the Switch are really cool. I played Resident Evil Revelations with gyro controls. And it helps so much, like when you're trying to refine a shot that you're about to make, like in a shooter, helps so much. Because I think, I think this is, in competitive scene, shooters, if they want to get rid of aim assist, I think gyro controls are definitely a better option for aim assist.
I think it's definitely a more interactive option.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to replace it. But then I don't think aim assist should exist in multiplayer games at all.
Yeah, neither. But I think if one was to remove aim assist, but there still needed to be some there, I think gyro controls would be good.
Yeah,
placement.
Well, I mean, I'd say it worked really well in Zelda.
Yeah,
like I actually used it in Zelda a little bit, and I was surprised because I never thought I would actually find a use for a mechanic like that.
It's like actually fun. I find it.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Like, you know, it's been a thing on the DS at times in the past. I mean, the technology has gotten a lot better since then. But yeah, it definitely, I don't know, just makes you feel a part of the game a bit more, which I find quite cool.
But yeah, so Outer Worlds is bringing, the developers of Outer Worlds, Obsidian Entertainment is bringing the game to Switch, as everyone knows. So yeah, here they're saying they've told who's the guy? Nintendo Everything website, NintendoEverything.com. They've told NintendoEverything.com here that much time was spent on tuning controls to help the playability on the Switch, which is definitely needed. The team tuned sensitivity, exposed some inputs to users in the settings menu, tweaked and iterated aim assist values and added support for gyro aiming and sticky targeting. There you go. Looks like they're doing aim assist and gyro aiming.
I could actually see that combination being useful for something like the Switch.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as ergonomic as like an Xbox or PlayStation control. So
the
easeability and the accessibility, I can see the value in that. That's rad.
Porting a game with thousands of assets designed to be loaded and displayed on current gen PCs and consoles with the power to play display in 4K made streaming and visual fidelity a challenge on the handheld. However, Obsidian is very happy with how the game looks and plays on Nintendo's device. And here's some news regarding the game's performance. They've heard the game targets 30 frames per second with a resolution of 720p in handheld and 1080p docked. So yeah, there you go.
It's actually quite impressive for a Switch.
It releases tomorrow.
Like if you, let's say, you know, you only have a Switch because either you move around or it's what you wanted because you just needed, like, you wanted a console and the Switch was your decision. And you still want to play some of those, like, left wing, like, so, like, campaign games. I'd say that's reasonable as far as running a AAA on a Switch goes.
Yeah. I might actually cop this, like I was saying earlier. I need to finish Outer Worlds. I think it'd be cool to play handheld. So,
look, I'm a bit of a slut for frames, so I don't think I could. But
bit of a slut.
Yeah, a bit of a slut for frame. That's me.
But yeah, that's it for that.
Well, so we've talked about Outriders before, and it looks quite cool because we talked about the reveal trailer when it drops. Whenever that was, a while ago now. But for those of you that don't know, Outriders is a new third-person loot shooter coming out by the guys over at People Can Fly, the blokes behind Bulletstorm, or blokes and ladettes. You know, I don't actually know the demographic of their team, but it'll be all-inclusive. And they released some instead. That was so dramatic. They released extended gameplay and confirmed that there won't be any microtransactions. And they talk about the classes, the loot, the world tiers, and, you know, whatever else in the trailer for 12 minutes. Now, I watched a good chunk of it. I really, nothing against the guy. I just hated the narrator. Like, I feel like the narration took away from the video so much for me just because it was so dry. But the game looks like it's actually going to be a lot of fun. I don't know why, but it reminds me of a combination of Gears of War and God of War.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and like, I don't know if that overhypes it or makes it sound awful, but Gears of War mechanically is how it looks like it's going to feel to play. But then God of War, because of that, like, weird blend of real world to, like, fantasy power kind of thing. Because the classes, they go through and play the Pyromancer class, and you're, like, fucking shockwaving the ground with, like, a fire ripple and shit. Against, like, all these, like, alien dogs. And it's just, that's what, I don't know why, but that's what it reminds me of, that combination. And I think that's quite cool, and it makes me more interested to suss it out.
That's sick.
Yeah,
I need to watch more of this
trailer. Yeah, watch the trailer. Yeah, because it definitely looks really cool. It's only 12 minutes. Again, not a fan of the narrator, but hey, it's an interesting watch. Chuck some music on, put it on mute. You know.
You know what? Another game I need to check out is Crucible.
We do need to check out Crucible.
Yeah.
Has that dropped yet? Is that not dropped yet?
Yeah, released last week.
Oh, true. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to suss it out.
So, yeah, that's the end of this episode.
We out. We out of
all. I will say, if you have $30 spare, you don't know what to use it on, and you don't want to save it. I mean, I probably do save it, but if you don't want to save it, you're like, fuck, I can't hold into this $30 any longer. Go buy Monster Train. That shit is a lot of fun. Just wanted to promote that game.
If you are disgusted by the idea of holding on to $30,
yeah,
buy this game.
Yeah, it's just really dirty. It's starting to call you names that you haven't been quite.
Like,
it's telling you weird secrets about yourself.
If you've got daddy issues, buy this game.
Yeah. That's the real message.
Yeah, that's the real message here. Yeah. Sponsored by NerdSip.
You can find us on Twitter at NerdSip Podcast and with Instagram NerdSip Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast player or iTunes.
Massive.
Shoot us. We have a pod chaser as well. So if you like to review podcasts, do so on podchaser.com. You can find us by just in the search there.
Review
we would
us.
Appreciate that
do
a
it.
Lot.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
I
Let
reckon,
us know what we do or don't do well.
Yeah, I reckon we'll read out the reviews on the show.
No, 100%. Right. Yeah. Slap us a review and we'll shout you out, good or bad. I don't care. Maybe good maybe you hate us.
Give us a bad review.
Yeah, you could tear us apart, really break down our childhood traumas. You could tell us that we are the most disappointing thing you've listened to since your father left, and we would read it out.
I'll read that.
I'll read that, bro. Dude, I'll read that for you if that helps. If that's going to make you like this.
I'll do fucking anything.
Yeah, I'll do like, fucking just review me. Validate me. Or degrade me, right. Whichever way.
All right, that's it. See you guys.
Laters.